It is Sportsfeld. We are in it. We are in the regular season.
We are. Things have begun.
It has happened.
Games have happened.
No more waiting. No more prognosticating. No more guessing.
Yeah. Well, still, I mean,
tons of prognosticating. Like 81 more 81 games of prognosticating plus playoffs.
But at least there's some evidence to base it on now. Not just like, I think.
That's exactly what we sound like.
Yeah.
We have Raptors. Home opener happened. Ring ceremony. Banner is up. The division banners are now one banner. Which I respect.
I like it.
Smart.
Yeah.
Maple Leafs quietly cratering in the background. It's not great.
It's not. I don't know.
They've been a 500 team since the start of 2019. We'll get into it. TFC quietly in the playoffs.
Yeah. Very like fun game, but very quiet. Oddly, I was thinking about that.
I'm going to lean on you for that one.
Yeah. I the quiet thing I find interesting. Like just the, I feel like the first time they did it, when they went on the run and won the whole thing, there was a bit more hype behind it.
Sure.
And because they were like, now the teams have won stuff in the city.
I will say, as like a parachute fan, somebody who's not live and die by the team, I don't know any of the players.
That's part. I think that's
Josie didn't play, so I was like, I have no idea what's happening.
Yeah, and I think Seba being like sort of a Toronto sports celebrity at the time probably helped that a little bit.
Yeah.
And now it's like, oh. Yeah.
Through no fault of anybody else.
No.
There's only so much.
But it's not the same.
The Raptors quite literally won the title.
That I think that also. I mean, TFC were the first ones here to sort of like win a thing, and everyone's like, Toronto won a thing.
All we do is win.
And now it's like, oh, we just won an NBA title. So
what an unbelievable half decade.
Truly.
Which we'll get into at some point before the end of the year. We have some
decade things.
Right. That I didn't dream that email happened.
No, we definitely talked about
it. Okay, cool. I'm not that organized.
That's fine.
As a human.
As you know, I love ranking things.
So. You do love to rank.
I love to rank.
How are your decade albums coming along?
It's coming. I have the first few.
Crazy.
I haven't decided how many I'm going to do yet.
Right.
It's coming.
That's got to be part of the challenge.
Yeah.
Wild.
I feel like I don't want to do too much. I hate album lists that are like when Pitchfork does like 200.
Mm.
It's like, how are you differentiating 194 and like 170? There's no difference.
200 albums and still yet manage to piss off people by omitting things.
Yes. Which like also.
It's impressive.
I think I'm officially past the age where I get mad at the order of lists, which is nice.
Okay.
I definitely had that period, but I don't think I do anymore.
So if I were to check your recent tweets about that very Pitchfork list.
I think I just made fun of the list for existing. I don't think I made fun of the actual.
I like that. And also, not least importantly, it is still October, which means it is still Blood Brothers Brewery month. Our third week of the Blood Brothers. I knew I was going to screw it up. I was so proud of myself for doing it right the first time.
I love how this month syncs up that we get four in the month.
Yes, I love it too.
It's almost like that's how dates work.
We're going to slow things down this week with a nice traditional India pale ale. It's a Shumei.
I'm actually not sure. I will say, though, this is one of my absolute favorite beers in the world.
I'll tell you what it is. It's a hybrid of a West Coast and Northeastern style IPA. It's a little Midwestern.
Yeah.
A little middle of the country. It's an assertive bitterness. That's what I would call this show.
Stay tuned for more.
Boom. Citrus and pine combined with juicy qualities of Northeastern style pale ales. Jake, here is
the bottle opener. Let's see how fucking open this week. Apparently people were commenting on how long it took to first try.
We had a pre-show discussion whether is opening the bottle and pouring the bottle on the show a good idea or a bad idea. Our producer said bad idea, but guess what? We're the ones in the room with the bottle.
This is not a good pour. These cups are hard to.
Mm.
But yeah, anyway, whenever I'm at a bar and if they have this beer tap, I immediately order it.
Speaking of
a go-to for me.
Ordering this beer, the Blood Brothers Bottle Shop.
Yes.
165 Geary Avenue, 7 days a week from noon to 11 p.m. Hypothetical situation. You're at home watching sports, as you do.
As we do.
And you realize, I need to get some Blood Brothers beer. And you say, I can't make it to the bottle shop.
Oh, that was close.
My hands are tied. I'm busy. I'm cooking, making stew.
And watching sports.
You can have this delivered to your home, which I would not believe if I did not read it myself. Online, www.bloodbrothersbrewing.com. We're still saying the www.
I wonder, do you remember? I don't know.
HTTP :// www.
Yeah. Do you remember when we were kids? I don't know if it was the same for you where you grew up, but here, like being underage and like attempting to use like dial-a-bottle services and it can't relate.
Small town.
Right. Yeah. It's still this whole thing.
Dial a bottle.
Cassie was actually laughing at me the other day. She was like, I listened to the show and it's amazing how you still don't understand how small towns work.
Yeah. Right. The whole like get into a bar. Like, what bar are you talking about?
Anyway, dial a bottle was like a thing here in Toronto where it's exactly as it sounds.
I heard rumors.
But it was always such a fucking like production.
Is it just some guy?
It was. And it took forever and it cost so much. And now we live in a world where you can just order the best beer in the city online. God what
bless.
A world.
God bless.
What a world.
Well, we've sipped, we have poured, and now we shall remark.
Mm. Mm. Boy, that's delicious.
That is delicious. Wow.
So, yeah, it's so good.
Lots going on there.
Yeah. Got a little fruity, a little citrus, a little hops. Love some hops.
Speaking of lots going on, Jake.
Oh, I thought you were going to say speaking of hops. And I was like,
hey, that's not bad either.
Right? I was like, that'd be good.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
A real full menu of sports yesterday.
Yeah, finally.
As good as it gets. You had Raptors, home opener, ring ceremony, banner unveiling. You had the Maple Leafs limping into a game against the Boston Bruins. You had the World Series game one. I'm sure there was other stuff if you wanted to. Which one did you watch?
I watched your Toronto Raptors.
You simply
How could you not?
You simply must.
I got a little teary during the opening ceremony. It was very well done. I've been like trying to find a good playoff montage like that for a while, and that was really hit home. A lot of like memory. I think Matt and Jack or Matt and Leo said on the broadcast last night that it felt like watching that montage, it was like all of the emotion of being in the building back again.
Even Fred VanVleet said that.
Yeah. It's pretty cool.
And we love Fred VanVleet, don't we, folks?
Fred VanVleet.
34 points. Regular season career high. He was on fuego.
Everyone should have a kid, and then you'll get good at basketball. That's the lesson.
Okay.
I don't know. I mean, he's as much proof as I need.
I didn't say it. Yeah, sure. Pascal also looked excellent.
34 as well, I believe.
He looked excellent.
He looked great. 34-17.
All your fears swept away. Not your fears, but like the proverbial you.
I mean, I did have the thought that he was doing it against Derek Favors, which isn't...
Derek Favors is an NBA player.
He is, but it's not like...
It's an NBA lineup. People were sneaky high on the Pelicans, which I did not understand.
I did understand. I just don't understand without Zion. But I don't know.
Fair enough.
I'm not doubting Pascal at all, but I couldn't help but think watching
Switching
the game...
Switching
roles
here.
No. I couldn't help but think watching the game yesterday that I just need him to see him do it as the guy.
38, 34, against, 18, and 5.
I need to see him do it against one of the, you know, big guys. That's all.
Celtics on Friday.
So that would count. That would count.
Who is the Celtics front court this year?
No, I don't know. They're all kind of bad. I hate the fucking Celtics.
Sneaky bad this year.
I will say, yes, I agree.
Bad Stevens.
Celtics are a 7 seed at best this year.
Ooh la la.
No, I don't know. Yeah.
I have no idea.
Yeah. I just don't think they're good. But I did notice my one concern.
Let's hear it.
From the Raptors last night is maybe I've been conditioned over a year of watching the team with Danny Green and Kawhi Leonard, uh-oh, which is totally fair.
Yeah.
There is I don't know if worrying is the right word, because it's one game and who knows, and it's first game especially. I would say there's potentially a worrying lack of guys who can sort of create their own shot.
Interesting. That is not a invalid concern, I would say.
Yeah. Like, not that these guys can't shoot and not that Pascal can't, you know, storm into the lane and do his spin move and get to the net every single time.
Yes.
But from this is not an indictment of the end of game play call, because I actually didn't mind it that much.
What, the Norm 30 footer?
I like Nick Nurse's justification for it. Made sense to me.
It made sense to me too, because I needed an extra 10 minutes to podcast. So I was like, hey, great. Thank God.
I like the justification that they'd rather miss and take their shot in overtime than give the turnover. I totally get that.
When you're a better team.
Yeah.
Say we'll beat these guys in OT.
But not specifically that last play, but the last like minute 20 mm-hmm. of that game, they just flat out don't have a Kawhi, not literally Kawhi because he's Kawhi, but yes, like the guy where you're just like, even in the Raptor teams of yore, you could still
olden day,
even though it was like, I don't know. And everyone got real mad about it.
Yesteryear.
Still had a little bit of faith in like giving a guy like DeMar that spot.
I will say Pascal Siakam fouled out of that game at that point.
That's true. On not a great call.
It is what it is.
But you're right. That is true. And I would have been curious to see how the end of game offense ran with Pascal on the floor.
Dare I say.
But you know what I mean.
I do. I understand completely. I think VanVleet provides that a little bit. He seems to be able to get to the bucket when he needs to.
Yep.
And could really see him actively looking to make pocket passes and little. I came away very impressed.
He was great. He was especially because he played the last third of the game without an ankle, apparently. Yeah,
let him play in pants.
Move Move the camera back.
Let him play in pants.
Move the cameras back. Why have we not done this yet?
No, I think
it seems so simple.
I think you make a great point. I think it'll be tough against teams that are a little more defensively focused, not to knock the Pels.
And it's game one, and like I think the offense will
also stupid. I didn't really understand the Pelicans' rotation there.
No, I didn't.
JJ Redick's not at the end of the game. Maybe he's just seeing ghosts.
But him and Sam Darnold. But hey, a football reference I made.
Look at you.
Look at me. I watch Twitter. It's game one, and like the practices will, I think, Bill. I thought the ball movement was pretty good last night for the Raptors. I think they need more. I think they just need more creativity without, now they don't have a Kawhi where they can just be like, hey, do a thing. Mm-hmm. I think they'll need a little bit more game planning, which I absolutely trust Nick Nurse to do. I just think it's a question of, I feel less confident with the end game lineup on the floor than I did 3 days ago.
Yes.
But that's also not because of anything they really did or didn't do.
Yeah.
It's just, seeing it in action and thinking about it, being like, oh, right. There is a major part missing.
I think you make a very interesting point about sort of to not steal your words, but to phrase it differently. The first 43 minutes and the final 5 minutes are two different animals, right?
Yes.
I think one of the strengths.
Yes, that's absolutely correct.
One of the strengths of this team right now is because there isn't a quote unquote guy. The ball movement, it really benefits everybody. And they really seem to play as it doesn't matter who scores as long as somebody scores.
Yep.
But we saw, especially when it comes down to crunch time and when it comes down to playoff time, you're going to have to get those games where it's like, okay, we're clearing out for X player.
Which I do think.
Maybe it's Pascal.
Maybe. And I do think to your point that you can also look, I think, at the NBA season in a similar way. At the first 43 minutes are one thing and the last five are another. In that I think this doesn't mean that I think it does mean the Raptors are going to be a very good regular season team.
Yeah.
And I think that 3-seed, 4-seed prediction is not.
50 plus wins seems like a lock.
Right?
I'm locked into
that. But like, then it makes me think like, oh, are we the 2018 Raptors where they walked to a 1-seed?
Yeah.
And then, come playoff time, it was, oh, they can't fucking do anything.
But there's no Bron.
Yeah, but there is Giannis.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you're right that, like, as we've talked about this, I don't think
Howard.
Philly's not the, like, there's Giannis and that's it. But there was just Bron. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So like, I could absolutely see this team. And again, I'm basing this off one game, which is stupid. Granted.
Well, it's one game plus everything you've seen. Like, it wasn't one game with a bunch of new guys.
Yes, that's true. But is this team after one game I could see a future where they have a top 3-seed and then just can't when that extra gear happens in the playoffs, they just don't have that guy to take them from A to B. You know what I mean?
Speaking of that guy, did you watch Clippers Lakers at all?
I did not because I didn't care really.
Fair enough.
As I said, when Kawhi left, I wish him nothing but the best and I hope he never wins anything again.
I did watch.
Was it a good game?
You know what?
I saw Kawhi got booed, quote unquote, at home.
Yes. Patrick Patterson starting at the four.
Yeah.
Hey, man, you had to go home.
And yeah, I mean, you want to go play with Patrick Patterson instead of Pascal Siakam?
Okay. You know what struck me beyond like the things we already know about Kawhi? It's those small things that you sort of forget. I don't know if I've ever seen anybody better at knowing when to get that backbreaking rebound. He's just so good at it. He's just so good at it.
And to the point, so what we're saying about it, what the Raptors are missing in, I mean, obviously they're missing Kawhi, but like
one of the best players in the league. Yeah.
But I've noticed it in the rewatching sort of plays, games on YouTube from the playoffs, as I like to do, just being like, man, he was so good.
Amazing. Truly like, amazing.
So, so good.
Through no hyperbole, he was Michael Jordan in the playoffs.
Yes.
That's what Jordan is.
One of the best playoffs in the history of the game.
Any other thoughts from game one?
Kyle
played like Kyle,
which is absolutely fine. But again,
good signs
to my worry. Kyle playing like Kyle is great when you have Kawhi. But if Pascal can if Pascal's going fucking 30-15 every game, then we don't have to worry. But I thought OG looked actually for a guy who hasn't really played in game in, 6 months. I thought OG looked pretty good.
And while we're overrating one game sample sizes.
Absolutely.
Allow me to make a proclamation.
Do it.
Terrence Davis is making an all-rookie team this year.
He's pretty fucking good.
He's your first or second team. He's going to be on the all-rookie team.
Mark
it down. He's in the rotation, written in pen almost, on a very good team.
His, what's the word I'm looking for? Poise, I guess, is the word I'm looking for.
Unrattled.
Yeah. Just like, first NBA game after a banner raising ceremony, just looked complete. Like he fit in pretty well, hit a couple big threes, had played some good defense. Masai Ujiri, and I guess Bobby Webster too. We love Bobby. And Dan Tolsman got some love last night. That was fun.
Surprise, surprise. Wasn't it great to see Ed Rogers get a ring? You got to love it. Emotion.
Did the crowd
in the room.
Boo him?
Eddie Rogers. I certainly hope so.
His tepid little clap.
Just a winner.
I'm glad we took time out to thank the board of directors.
Though. Yeah, absolutely.
I needed to thank the head of Bell and Rogers for all they do for the Raptors.
All the guys. Alex McKechnie got a huge round.
That was great. That was really great.
Shocking comment from me here, but Blake Murphy.
Yeah.
Great piece on Terrence Davis.
I know. Who would have thought?
But to my point about Terrence Davis, and you said it perfectly, he's poised and fitting in. There is a contingent of dudes that came into this organization and were like, okay, we're going to go ground up and develop. Talking about Norm, talking about Pascal, talking about Fred. Those three dudes, by all accounts, and by all accounts, I mean what Blake said and what Terrence Davis said.
By the account.
Yes. Those dudes have been instrumental in making him get to that point where he feels comfortable and he feels like he has earned his spot in the rotation. He knows what it takes to fight for that every single game. I am very optimistic on Terrence Davis.
Yeah, I am too. I don't want to say that he's going to rise to the heights of those, but like, even if you hit Norm Powell's career from an undrafted guy, that's pretty amazing.
Rotation guy on a 50-win team is not
nothing. Yeah.
Bad.
Maybe one day we'll trade him for the next Kawhi.
All right. I mean, that's the way. Unfortunately, that's the truth.
It is the truth, yeah. The thing I will say, watching the game yesterday, we've talked about this a bunch this summer. Mm-hmm. The idea of like, how do we watch games that we won a title? There was a difference.
Yes,
I felt if that end of game Norm play happens and they hadn't won a title last year, I think the reaction is extremely different. Even if it wasn't game one. Like I just see, or even it was game one without a title. It's hard to get worked up
sure.
right now. Sure. I would say,
I think you'll find a way.
I think and like a night, they literally raised the banner yesterday, but
yes. Any other thoughts before we move on?
No, banner raising was great. I think we should do it every game. That's what I think.
All right. We have, Maple Leafs. We have, Toronto FC, as you mentioned.
Yeah.
As I mentioned to you.
Yes, it's true.
And, baseball bullshit. we're going to visit that in just a moment. Okay, Maple Leafs, we'll get to this because they are, I don't know, listless a little bit.
Yeah, it sort of feels like they're in that February mode, but it's October.
Yeah, I'll say this. Not that it's a concern. I don't think anybody's concerned.
Well, no, because they're top three in the division regardless, pretty much.
Are they, though?
Yeah, I think so. There's too much talent on there not to be.
Yes, that is one point that I would agree with. But the thing that's starting to...
Even if they end up as a wild card team,
right?
I still think that's fine.
I think battling for a wild card may be what we're staring at here.
I think that's okay. I think that a little bit of having to fight for a playoff spot might be good for this team. Mm-hmm. I also think that the East, like outside of Tampa, the East isn't so overwhelmingly good that anyone you'd play as a wild card team is anything particular. Like, it's no more worrisome than playing Boston or Tampa. That's what I would say. So I'm not, as long as they make it, I'm not particularly concerned with where they finish.
I'm starting personally. to back off my early season optimism.
That didn't take long.
Well, the signs, if you pull it back beyond the first 10 games, if you pull it back to like literally the calendar year of 2019, they've been about a 500 team, which is underperforming of what we believe their true talent to be.
Yes, I think that's true. But I also think that the way they perform, I think that all our comments about how they performed in the back half of 2018 or the 2019 last season still apply now.
Isn't that troubling to you?
No.
If the same problems persist in the back half of one year and the start of another year, then it's not, oh, it's just the time of year. That's just the team. That's both ends of the, right? I'm starting to like...
That's a good point.
There's just the small stuff where I think you saw it against Columbus in the first half of this back-to-back. You saw it last week against Minnesota. When they are under the impression that they are better than the other team, They're just sort of like, yeah, we're better. And then sort of a shrug and like, we'll skill our way out of the problems. So does not fly against teams like
Here's a question
Washington.
For you.
Yes.
Who talks to more hockey people than I do.
Sure.
Is this a case of not getting up for the coach?
Here's the thing, right? And no one wants to call it a hot seat. It's a lukewarm seat.
I'm not saying that it's necessarily entirely his fault.
No, I agree.
But there is a case in every sport.
Yes.
You can, you know, go back and forth on how much you think coaching matters in various sports, and I have no fucking idea. But I do think there is examples
yes.
of teams that just don't want to play for a guy anymore. And there's plenty of coaching changes that happen not because of achievement or talent or whatever, that sometimes it's just time for a change. And I genuinely have no idea if that's this, but I'm curious to get your thoughts on whether or not it is.
I'm glad you asked that way, because I just talked to Justin Cuthbert about this. And when you look at the big picture problems people are saying the team has, slow starts, number one. The back-to-back goaltending rotation has
that's,
been...
Well, that's an easy, right. tangible thing to be like, hey.
Right. Defensive lapses.
Yeah. Oh. Michael Hutchinson had a rough night.
He has yet to be put into a position where he can win a game.
He's going against Boston on the second half of back.
All he's doing is playing the second half of back-to-backs against better teams. And the fourth thing is lack of discipline. They're taking some dumb penalties at bad times. Those four things... The undercurrent to all those is that's sort of what people generally quantify as coaching.
Right.
Without saying it, you are saying it, right?
Yeah. This is kind of where I'm going with this.
Agreed. It's the thing that no one wants to explicitly say. But also, I mean, Greg Popovich had a comment on this back in the day. It's a famous clip about players not being ready. And, you know, is it the coach's job to get a player ready for the game? And he said, well... You know, plumbers don't get pep talks when they go to work. Your job is to be a professional athlete. Yeah. Your job is to be ready to go to work when the shift starts.
I think that's true, but I also think it's true that Greg Popovich hasn't missed the playoffs in like 20 years, and there's a reason for that.
100%. I don't know. It's a difficult situation to parse.
I do wonder also if it's the kind of thing where Mike Babcock is so ingrained and respected in hockey culture, especially in Canada because of his contributions to Team Canada, mm-hmm. and especially by the Canadian hockey media.
Yeah, if you fill a team with Hall of Famers, he's a good coach.
I'm wondering if this was any other guy that, and the exact same roster, exact same problems, exactly mm-hmm. you're talking about, wouldn't he be being taken to task constantly?
It's if it was Randy Carlyle.
Right?
And they were 500.
Right? Like, if it were anybody, if it was Paul Maurice, yeah. who everyone likes, like Carlisle is the unfortunate
totally.
Like thing of not being liked. But if it was a guy who everyone likes and respects, but isn't capital M, capital B, Mike Babcock, I feel like the discussion is different.
It's interesting. It's not a disaster, right?
No.
But the game of like...
Even last year in the playoffs, if someone other than Mike Babcock is saying, I had to play Patrick Marleau 18 minutes, they'd be taken to the woodshed for it.
I know. You're not wrong. This is the thing that is...
And I'm not even blaming him necessarily. No, it's just weird.
I agree. It's right underneath the surface. Everybody loves him. They love to talk to him. They love to hear him. He gives great quotes. I don't know that the players feel the same way, but I can't say that with any certainty. I'm not involved. I think we have a team of guys that generally believe that if the game is just trading chances back and forth, that they are more talented to win more often than
And them. That's probably true. But... To your point, though, it does seem like on all sides, whether it's Babcock's lack of criticism or whatever, or the players thinking they're better, it seems like a lack of responsibility and a lack of consequence on all sides from everyone,
mm-hmm.
which is not a good... You see Nick Nurse being like, I'm not playing these fucking guys. They don't work hard enough.
Couldn't agree more.
Not to please like my sport it, but...
No. You're absolutely right. And you know, we've seen now one by one these things tick off where you say, okay, well, the roster they need to add a tough defenseman. Well, they added Jake Muzzin.
Yep.
They need to add somebody to replace Gardner. Well, they added Tyson Berry. Mm-hmm. They need to add
they
this.
Have a top to bottom, top nine.
They need to, right? Gauthier's been great. Trevor Moore's been great. Mikhaev has been great. Kerfoot's been great.
Kapanen's getting better.
Kapanen's getting better all the time.
Johnson's great. Then you have the three, four legitimate superstars.
So, dot, 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 right? And like, we're, again, yeah. we're only 10 games in, and if they win against San Jose and then win against Montreal, nobody cares. But yeah. this is and I think in the air.
And no matter what happens the next week, by the time we talk next, on paper, this is still the most talented Leafs team in
100%
forever. But
get the parade ready.
But
there's things.
There's things. I'm sorry. There's things other than on paper.
Yeah, it's hard to look at that game against Columbus and feel anything but they should have just beat that team's brains in it. It should have been no question.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I know, and I know hockey is different from other sports, just the way it's a random game. It's quick.
Of course, bounces.
But like, good teams beat bad teams, or should.
Boston seems to be doing it. They only have one line. And the one line is just good enough, and those guys know what to do. Anyway.
Yeah.
I think... At the risk of
I got a little little too close there to being like, well, the eye test.
No, I'll know. The underlying numbers do say that they're better than they've been playing, that they are generally more often than not getting more chances than the other team, which is fine and good. So it's not a panic. It's just
No. I didn't.
When you watch it, you're just like,
there's concerns.
Something's just not, and we'll see. Also to mention, Zach Hyman is not playing. Zach Hyman went from, Zach Hyman to like, if Zach Hyman comes back, it's
we
all
need,
good.
Need his forechecking.
And Travis Dermott will be hopefully solidifying.
Also, John Tavares isn't currently playing.
Yes. I'm ready to not see Cody Ceci play with Morgan Rielly. I'm ready for that.
I got bad news for you, buddy.
I'm ready for anybody but Cody Ceci on Morgan Riley's line. Holy Jesus. Move on. Jake, Toronto FC playoffs. I don't know anything. Please.
So Toronto FC are in the... I guess it would be the conference semifinals tonight. Yes.
NYCFC.
NYCFC at Citi Field, which is not where NYFC usually play. They usually play at Yankee Stadium, which is not better, but it's at Citi Field tonight. I'm not sure why. I'm sure someone knows.
That's what you want for the playoff games. A stadium that never hosted soccer
before. It should be good for TFC, considering the idea of home field advantage won't exist.
Right.
Which is fine. They beat DC United on Saturday at home in
wild.
A wild play-in game. I guess it counts as the conference quarterfinals.
Sure.
Scored 4 goals in the first half of extra time after...
I could not believe that.
It was... So I was there. It was...
That's right.
It was a very strange crowd experience because, as you can imagine, the crowd was playoffs, so rowdy crowd, everyone on their feet, yelling, everything. When DC tied it in the 92nd minute, the building was silent. It was the entire I guess like a break before extra time starts.
Here we go again, right?
Just dead silence. It was, and then Richie Larea scored 2 minutes later, and then they scored 2 and 2 and 2 minutes after that, and it was over. But it was I've never seen just like a the bounce back, but B like the just 4 goals in 15 minutes.
Crazy.
In a soccer extra time in the playoffs. Nice collapse from Wayne Rooney and DC United. Wayne Rooney definitely after this third goal was like, okay, I'm no longer playing in this league.
To curb sort of thoughts from our Raptors, what it's like to watch a championship team. You have been on board for this entire thing. We're now 2 seasons removed from a championship.
Yes.
How does it feel now to be going through a playoff run again? But as me, as somebody who is just sort of parachutes in when it matters and doesn't follow the team directly, how has it been to be? Because like, I feel like if they hadn't won the title, this is a playoff run where everyone's like, oh my God, it's a playoff run. And now it just sort of seems like it's just sort of happening.
It's also different because like that, the team that won the title and the team that lost in the final the year before were so good.
Mm-hmm.
Like the team that won the title was one of the three, I think one of the three best regular season MLS teams of all time.
Yes. And the team before that was also incredible.
Yeah. And I think there's a, I don't know if it's a, if marketing is the right word, but like the team that won the title had Sebastian Jovinko, who was not only like an extremely good player and a name brand player, but his style is very easy for, let's say the...
It was visible.
Yeah. He scores a lot.
Yeah.
Is really what it is. So now they have Alejandro Pozuelo, who's great, but his job isn't to score 25 goals a game. He sets up the guys to score 25 goals a game or a season. And so it's just... It's different, and it definitely feels quieter, the hype level. But I also think that has to do with, as we were saying before we went on the air here, I think that has a lot to do with the Raptors winning the title in a way as well.
Mm-hmm.
Because when TFC won, it was like, oh my God, Toronto won something. Everyone got behind them on that run. It was easy because they were very good. And I will say in that season, there was like buzz, but until the playoffs, it wasn't like hugely a thing.
Right.
I also say that they had home field in the playoffs that year.
Right.
So, and playoffs were different then because they were two legs instead of one. Whereas now it's just one game. And so they probably won't have another game at home this year just because of where they finished. So I think there's a bunch of reasons for sort of the mutedness of it in the city, I would say. I'm wondering, and I'm curious, if they win tonight and then they're in the conference finals, I'm wondering if then people will start to be like, okay. I do think that if they make the finals, the city will get into it.
I will tune in tonight.
That's
worth flipping over.
It's definitely different. They had 25,000 at the game on Saturday, which is about 5,000 under capacity, which is about what I expected, but it's definitely different. I would say that this team, similar to what we were talking about with Kawhi, this team doesn't have like the guy.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So it's harder to be like, oh, they'll be fine no matter what. But they have a bunch of really good players. I think the timing of Canada beating the US last week and then 5 days later, two of the major players on the Canadian team scored extra time goals for TFC doesn't hurt.
I thought that would make it a bigger deal.
But yeah, that's
the timing of the time of year as well, right? They're doing it. Raptors. Everyone's talking about the Raptors. Everyone's talking about the Leafs.
Yeah, but that was the case last year or 2 years ago as well.
Yeah,
but I hope it starts to get a little more. But to your point, like trying to find a place to watch game nights, like I bet everyone's gonna have the World Series on and not the Toronto team that's in the playoffs.
I don't know if they
will. I don't know. Yeah, I'm curious, but it's fun either way.
And quickly, speaking of the World Series, fuck the Houston Astros.
Man, I went on a rant last week on this show saying fuck the Washington Nationals because of all the Montreal thing. Still true, but oh my God, am I cheering for the Washington Nationals now.
Yeah.
Fuck the Houston Astros.
Nothing we didn't already know, right? No. That's the thing about this.
Yeah.
That's the thing about this news where if you didn't hear
it. They came out after they traded for Roberto Osuna. They're like, well, he's our guy and we're happy to have him.
Yeah. I can't describe the story better than this is some fucking asshole who you've never heard of before he fucked up.
Yeah.
Did some dumb shit.
Who looks like a guy who would be a fucking asshole that would do this.
Surprise. Dumb asshole with power said some dumb shit.
Yep. He
yelled out, thank God we have Osuna.
At three female reporters, one of whom was wearing a wristband for domestic violence.
What a piece of shit.
Or I guess against domestic violence.
Probably going to get fired. I hope.
I don't know. Cause they're doubling.
I don't know either.
They're doubling down on it. And now I was reading this morning.
Classic. I'm sorry if.
Yeah. And then
fucking idiots.
They kind of backtracked on them being like nothing. Well, no, first they said the reporters were lying.
Yeah.
And then a bunch of other reporters were like, no, they're not. And then they said, I'm sorry if. And now Major League Baseball is investigating the matter, but their statement on it
crooks
seemed like they also don't believe this reporter who has her story corroborated by like six other people.
Fuck the Astros.
Glad they lost last night.
Nationals win.
Team Bolt of Lightning.
Yeah.
But
Team of Destiny or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't have any thoughts beyond that.
No. Nope.
Fuck these assholes.
I didn't even watch the game last night. I'm not going
to
lie.
I watched the end of it because it was just the timing. Yeah. I have no attachment to the Houston Astros. They're cheaters also. They cheated.
Did they? I saw people.
They're constantly cheating. They hacked into
different
team scouting database. They traded for a domestic abuser. They bragged about having a domestic abuser. And every pitcher that goes there suddenly becomes
extremely good.
The spin rate goes way up. Fuck the Astros. Anyway. That's it for me. You done?
Yeah.
I like
Jose Altuve, though.
Altuve is nice. He's short and he plays hard.
He's the real HDMH.
That is true. That's literally quite true.
Hit 400-foot bombs at that height.
He rules.
It's fucking impressive.
You're not going to have me deny that Jose Altuve rules.
But yes, fuck the
Astros. So does Juan Soto. So here we are.
Yes, that's true. Very true.
That is it for the sports part. Now let's get to the goofy idiots.
It's the good stuff.
The goof, the zany. We have match of the week, song of the week. We have does this freak you out? We have the mailbag. It is all coming up after this. Oh, baby. Some questions to get to.
That's
the whole point of the mailbag is questions. Yeah. Smart.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Smart boy. But in the first time, oh my God. Before that.
Should we start this again?
No, we're going to power right through it.
All
right. Before that, we ask, what's the song of the week, the match of the week, and does this freak you out? I'll go first with match of the week.
Do it.
When you go with Jushin Thunder Liger against Minoru Suzuki.
Thunder Liger?
Yeah.
Nice.
Liger is one of the all-time great junior heavyweights in Japanese wrestling. Been at it forever. Retiring in January after the Tokyo Dome show. One of my favorite things about wrestling is you just certain storytelling that you just sort of go along with because you're suspending your disbelief, right?
Of course.
So he's just he's been a good guy basically his whole career. He wears a big elaborate mask with horns and a full body outfit. But four times in his career, someone has been like, I know there's a dark side to you. So here's the thing. Here's the mythology is you have this great guy, a good guy in this great huge mask. Underneath the mask is a demonic evil spirit. Kishin,
okay. Yeah.
Kishin version of Justin Thunder Liger.
Sounds very, very Power Rangers.
Yes, it is very.
That's not a bad thing.
Look up Jushin Thunder Liger, Justin with an H. Jushin Thunder. If you don't think that's a Power Ranger in wrestling form.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yes. Underneath the mask.
Absolutely. Oh, I've seen this guy around and been like, wow, it looks like a Power Ranger.
He's been around for 30 years. He's been around since the early 90s, late 80s. Gonna retire. But Minoru Suzuki is like a psychopath and brought out Kishin Liger one more time before he retires. And they just beat the shit out of each other. It was great. I love Kishin Liger. I love the idea that there's this guy that almost never uses that dark side that has it brought out. And it's like he drove a metal spike through a table and tried to kill the dude. It was great. That's great. You love the mythology of it.
That's awesome.
Jake, song of the week.
Song of the week is a song called Start to Move by a band called Wire. Wire are a band who started out of the punk movement in England in the 70s.
Mate.
And are still going today.
Holy
after many breaks. They just answer show. They're coming to play here in March. I'm not sure if I'm going to go, but the site of the show announcement was enough to be like, I should listen to some Wire, see if I haven't in a while. And I did. And their first three albums are all-time English punk classics, IMO. So check them out. And they're all 35 minutes long. So it's quick and easy listen.
Bruv.
And it.
Yeah, mate. Okay, Jake.
All right.
I dread this all week long.
The question on everyone's lips. Mind.
Your mind's lips. Blah, blah.
So, Zoobs, does this freak you out?
Oh, baby.
So I know you're a big coffee guy.
I love my coffee.
As they say. So.
I love two coffees.
According to a University of Montana biology professor.
Oh, no.
First split the beans on a gross finding in a 2009 interview about his research into dung beetles.
Oh, no.
Dr. Emlyn described how, as a student, he drove across the country with his professor who was fiercely addicted to caffeine and often made them drive up to 45 minutes off route to find somewhere that served whole bean fresh ground coffee.
Who's among us?
I remember him giving me a really hard time because we were wasting lots of travel time trying to feed his addiction for coffee every couple hours. He explained to me he had to drink only bean fresh ground coffee, whole bean fresh ground coffee, and it was because of cockroaches.
Uh-oh.
So.
I don't like this.
What the professor looked into it, he found that pre-ground coffee is all processed from huge stockpiles, which get infested with cockroaches. He explained that little can be done to filter out the creature.
No.
So they all get ground up along with the beans.
Oh, no.
Here's a little more.
No.
Dr. Emlyn said at the time, U.S. defect standards allowed coffee beans to contain as much as 10% insect filth and insects. Then he dropped the bombshell that chocolate, with huge piles of cocoa beans,
that I knew,
suffer a similar fate.
I think I knew that about chocolate.
So pre-ground coffee, 10% is ground up insects and cockroaches. Zoobs, does that freak you out?
Well, I don't love it. I don't love that.
Yeah. As someone who drinks pre-ground coffee literally every day.
In 2019, there is few other options.
Correct.
I'm not going to buy a coffee grinder.
No. I mean, I guess that is the other option, but
this is one of those things, right?
It's one of those things where it's like, I mean, like it's not great, but also I'm not going to change my life for it.
It's one of those things like swallowing spiders while you sleep.
Yeah.
Or chocolate, which is one of those things that every time someone brings it up, you remember that you're well aware of that fact already.
Yep.
But you go on with your life.
Yeah. I like to run my Does This Freak You Out by Cassie because she's very good at freaky things. And she went, oh yeah, I think I knew that.
She loves to eat spiders probably.
Yeah.
Oh, eating spiders? Yeah. Great.
Spooky.
Yeah. They give me powers. I don't love it. I don't love 10%. That's a little high.
Yeah. That was what hit me the most. It wasn't so much that, like, I'm sure in most of the horrible garbage we eat and ingest that there's lots of bad shit in there constantly, but 10% does seem like a lot.
Here's what I always do to myself to make myself feel better about eating bugs. I say to myself, if shrimp lived on land, it's a bug.
Yeah.
If lobster lived on land, you'd be like, oh, what a horrifying monster that
100%.
Is. 100%. And I love to eat those things.
They're literally my favorite food in the world.
So I must say that it does sort of freak me out. It makes me uneasy.
No, but your argument is good. Like, people eat insects all over the world and it's fine.
They're delicious.
Like, yeah.
But I'm not going.
There's something about being ground up.
I'm going to listen to this while I'm drinking coffee.
it's the ground up to me.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, if there's like, oh, there's cockroaches in coffee, I'd be like, okay.
Gross, but cool.
Yeah. But it's like, I think it's the fact they're ground up in it. That gets me.
Not a great death.
Well, no, I mean,
there's no way around it.
No.
The guy said it himself.
And it's also, and that's the other thing. There's nothing can be done. They're so in the plants that they can't
do anything about it. I don't like that at all. Well, careening halt to the show. I'm going to go with, it does freak me out, but.
But you're not going to stop.
What can I do? What can I do? I'm 34 years old.
Yeah. You think of all the cockroaches you ingested. Like,
yeah. I love them. I'm addicted to cockroaches. Right?
I just had a bunch.
Literally moments ago, drank a cockroach. Speaking of.
Don't.
No. This is going to be a tough transition. I'm going to try it anyway. Merch.
Oh, okay.
Depending on when you're listening to this, there might only be a few days left to get your Boba Fett t-shirt. You have until the end of October, until Halloween is the last day you can get it. Show your love for Star Wars. Show your love for Sportsfeld. Show your love for Boba Fett. Go to sportsfeld.ca. Click on that merch link. Grab your own limited time t-shirt. Once October is over, it is gone.
There will be a new one.
There'll be a new one, but it won't be Boba Fett as a Star Wars character. If that isn't your thing, not of the Force, you're not a Star Wars person, no offense, no problem. New trailer came out, so you should care.
Looks dope,
I guess. Tons of other stuff.
We'll get into that when we got closer to December.
We have the New Balance Not Sad shirt. We get the Spurs Feld hoodie.
Finally can be not sad after a fucking Spurs game this year.
All our merch is on sale. All the old merch. Not all our merch. All the old merch.
Yeah.
Which is just our logo on
it's
a shirt.
It's just the logo.
And a mug, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
It's on sale. So you have a couple days left. You have until October 31st to buy the Boba Fett t-shirt, sportsfeld.ca. Click on merch. Check it out. It's time for the mailbag.
Mailbag.
Chris Hawken asks us, if you could bring back one former franchise, he says, in example, I mean, you don't need examples. You know what former.
Yeah.
But Nordiques, Whalers, Expos, not going to be that one for Jake. Or the Grizzlies,
nope.
Purely for nostalgia. Which one would it be? I'm going to go with the Whalers.
Does it have to be one of those four?
Any team.
Okay.
I just think Whalers in general.
I think Seattle Supersonics.
Yeah, what am I saying? Seattle.
Has to be.
They, like...
There's, if you are of our generation and you like basketball,
yeah,
it's Seattle.
Because, you know, Montreal didn't show up.
Vancouver
didn't really show up.
And also fuck them.
Seattle was never like, oh, fuck the Sonics.
Yeah. They actively lost their team. And like, I don't really know about the history of the Whalers to know if they were showing up or not.
Yeah.
Seattle.
Seattle Supersonics. Who doesn't have great memories of the Sonics growing up?
Right?
That's the weird thing about the Sonics. Like, I don't know anybody that was like, oh, I hate the Sonics.
Maybe if you Sean lived in, Kemp, maybe if you lived in Chicago, but even then you were so good. Who cares?
If you're a Blazers fan?
Maybe, yeah.
That's stupid.
Yeah.
If you had to challenge the devil, the literal Christian devil, to a battle for your soul in a competition of your choosing, what competition / sport / activity would you pick that gives you the best chance of winning?
I've said this before. I'm going to say it again. NFL Blitz on Nintendo 64.
That is your fucking jam, eh?
Yeah.
I feel like the devil, yeah, probably struggle with NFL Blitz.
Because you can.
What are the odds the devil's played NFL Blitz a lot?
Right? And you can, he's a busy guy. You can kind of cheat. Also, if it's a literal Christian devil, I'd also just be like, let's go to synagogue. And he'd be like, ah, damn.
Touche.
Yeah.
I was about to ask a really ignorant question, and I'm not going to bother.
No, do it. Well, now you have to.
No.
Tell me after.
I said literal Christian devil, right?
Yeah.
Literal Jewish devil, same guy?
I don't know. I don't think we have one, actually.
The only thing more ignorant by my question is not knowing the answer to that.
I'm pretty sure we don't have, like I say, but I'm saying we too. Just
the first half of the book is the same for Christians. Yeah,
but
that's, Jews.
But like the, I don't think
Satan's in the first
hell,
half.
We don't have hell though.
Satan's in the opener.
But we don't have hell.
Oh really?
Yeah.
What goes on?
I've never been totally sure.
It's a bit of a short mailbag, so we may as well get into it. What happens? Like, what happens? Jake, what happens when we die? We've got 15 minutes. Where do we go when we die?
Dylan, fire up the editing machine.
Into the ground. You rot in a box.
Well, yeah.
I hope not. God, don't put me in a box. Anybody listening to this, my relatives in past or future, in the future, do not put me in a box in the ground.
I really do struggle with this. Like the conflicting thing of how I absolutely believe that there's nothing after death and it's just darkness and how much I hate that. You know what I mean?
Shrug. What can you do?
I mean, I won't care once I'm dead because I'll be dead.
You can't care.
But I care right now.
Right.
Like the idea of like, oh, nothingness sucks. I don't like that. But then being like, oh, but also I won't know or care.
Somethingness seems to also suck a little bit too. So
I like some of this. If I could live forever, I would.
I like this new Jake. Newish Jake.
I mean, yeah.
There was a time when you were just like, ugh, being alive sucks.
Yeah, that's true.
This is nice.
I've always been terrified of death though.
Well, I think that's natural.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I'm terrified of a lot of things, but
it's a light mailbag.
we have a write-in though, which we'll get to.
Oh, great. Okay, great. I didn't think I answered this, did I?
No.
My first instinct, I don't know. I'm not super talented at a lot of stuff.
Managing NHL.
Right. What's the end game to that? How do I determine?
Well, you win more titles in.
Right. But I feel like Satan, we're talking about a guy with no scruples. So he would probably cheat at that too.
Yeah, that's true.
See, that's why I like your NFL Blitz so much, because there is no real cheating.
There's literal cheat code, but it's ingrained in the thing.
The whole point is cheating.
Yeah.
NFL Blitz is like cheating as a game.
Yeah, exactly.
I think I would challenge him to NHL 08.
Is that the one? No.
Ovechkin on the cover?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I was Teflon in that game. Teflon. Untouchable. Older now. I don't have the same time to put in.
To actually playing the game.
Well, who has
time for menus?
Anybody can play. It's the scouting.
Resource management. Yeah.
How much money are you putting into your scouting? That's where we fucking... He would know all the edges too, though. We're talking about literally the devil.
But like, also, if we're assuming the
unscrupulous,
he's unscrupulous. But like, he's supposed to be able to do the thing. Like, the devil can't just be like, "Oh, here's a video game." Like
fiddle contest, I think. Probably
yeah. Level, what is it, level 5 of Robot Hell? I think. Great song, great show. Futurama's great. Quite a mailbag.
Josh asks us. Josh asks us a question every week, and I appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks, Josh.
And you can never not tell when it's a Josh question. But I think this is the one.
Oh, our Josh. Okay.
Is there another Josh?
I don't know. I thought maybe it was like someone on Twitter, but no. Oh, I mean, he is someone on Twitter, but it is Josh. I'm sure it's Josh. I haven't looked.
Sorry. Yeah, it is. I don't know why you're what that was.
I thought you meant for some reason didn't click in my brain that it was like
our friend Josh.
Our friend Josh.
This is a rift in space-time whisks you back to Honest Ed's for 1 hour. What are you buying?
Nothing. Honest Ed's was fucking garbage.
Oh boy, look at this gentrifying motherfucker.
No, it's Honest Ed's is fine. It just was full of garbage.
Look at this elitist.
The best thing on Honest Ed's was when Sonic Boom was also in the same building.
Mm.
So if I'm going back in time to when Sonic Boom was there, I just buy like.
Look at this rich uptown.
No, it's just, Honest Ed's is one of those lies Toronto tells about itself of like the good days of like cool stuff, but like, which there is a lot of in Toronto that has been shut down for sure.
I got you.
Honest Ed's was not one of those things.
Yeah.
You buy like a bunch of old fucking candlesticks for $3.
I think I'm with you here where like, it's like nostalgia for being able to buy junk.
Whoever, except when it was closing.
Yeah.
Whoever went to Honest Ed's being like, I got to get something.
You know what you got to buy at Honest Ed's is the signs.
The signs.
Yeah.
And also the like back parking lot area where they used to do like the fringe bar and stuff.
Right.
That was really great.
Smoke weed and stuff.
Yeah. That place was cool.
The only thing I went to Honest Ed's 3 or 4 times in my life. I bought a swimsuit because I was going swimming and didn't have a suit.
Sure.
I was like, it was on the way.
Honest Ed's was good for that kind of thing. Like, I don't have a specific thing I need in this exact moment.
I bought a bandana once because I needed a bandana. I was going to Bonnaroo. You can believe that.
You went to Bonnaroo?
I did go to Bonnaroo.
Well, that's a story.
Lil Wayne, one day. Lil Wayne, Black Keys, Eminem.
Just imagining you at a major music festival.
I hated it. Oh my God. that was where I don't need to do this anymore was birthed.
Yeah.
It was like, oh, this is so like.
When was this?
Lil Wayne and I don't even know. I was in college.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I was in like comedy college.
Right.
Just like, oh, stupid idiot. yeah, day one, I was like, this is so cool. Day two, I was like, this is not as cool as it was yesterday. Day three, I was like, let's leave early and go to Nashville.
I do agree with, I will agree with you that like,
we went to Applebee's. And I was like, this is the best part of the whole fucking trip.
I absolutely, obviously still go to tons of shows and like love, but like
camping at a festival,
did a camping festival.
Nope.
Home like 2016, I think.
Yeah.
Fuck it. Never again.
I will
we'll never camp for music unless you give me like an RV or something where I can like sleep in comfort.
Yeah.
I'm never going to a music festival. I'm waking up at 7 a.m. in the sun in a tent again in my life.
I will absolutely say not. Unequivocally, without doubt, nothing is close to this. The best part, the most fun, the part I enjoyed the most of Bonnaroo was showering at the hotel.
Oh, the shower after the festival?
I was like, oh my God.
Wait, you had a hotel? You didn't even camp?
No, we left. It was 3 days.
Right.
We woke up day three. We were like, I don't even want to be here anymore. And everyone else was like, yep. We went to Nashville, which is nearby. Right. Got a hotel. Drank in the hotel room. I was like, this is we watched the Heat lose the NBA Finals to the Mavericks. That's what year it was.
Okay.
2008?
10?
I'm bad at
somewhere around.
I'm
somewhere
bad at what
there.
Year things happen. Anyway, we watched that. I went on Twitter in the I'm such a fucking loser. Going on Twitter in the like business area of the hotel. I was like, I'm showered.
Now,
I'm getting
now,
tweets
this
off.
Is my festival.
Oh
baby.
Yeah, baby. Like I love brag about seeing Lil Wayne.
I love music. Like when music festivals
from
were
a mile back in the dark. Like, oh, this is fucking great. Lying
music
to myself.
Festivals were at Fort York. So it was like I could stay at home.
I went to that once.
You go for the day and then you go to a bar and then you go home.
I want to say I saw Chromeo.
That makes sense. But like those I'm still if like Toronto is lacking music festivals now because they fucked them all up. But and like funding and whatnot. But if like when they had like Toronto Urban Roots Festival at Fort York, I would do that tomorrow in a heartbeat. But going and camping for no, I've done it. Don't need to ever do it again.
Can do it.
No, fuck that.
Anyway, bandanas, I guess, is my answer to this.
All right,
I'm a bald guy. I can wear bandanas.
You can. I could see you wearing bandanas.
Not really. That's
I like it. I know. I like it.
What else we got here? We had. Would you eat a steak from a dollar store?
No.
No, me neither.
Absolutely not. When you ever buy the peanut butter they sell at a dollar store? It tastes like plastic. It's terrible.
And steak is one of those things where like. I'm not looking to cheap out on this.
Also, in that picture, it's packaged, which like,
yeah.
That can't be good.
There's certain foods, lobster is one of them as well, where it's like paying more is better. I would rather pay more because I would rather just have good food.
I'll eat lobster, whatever.
Cheap lobster? That can't be a good idea.
No, it can't be, but I would because I love lobster so much.
We move forward.
Oh, nope, we got one more.
We move forward with the last question.
There you go. Nice segue.
Thank you very much.
From our friend Andrew Wilson.
Wilson!
One of my groomsmen. He asked me last week and I forgot to do it. So sorry. Apart from traditional horse sports, like track and field events.
Equine.
What sport would horses excel at?
Soccer.
I guess no. It's just polo. Is that just like, it's like polo, right?
Those horses don't play. Horses just run around.
Here's the time where I don't fully understand what polo is.
It's the riders playing the game.
Oh, okay. For sure. I knew that.
I've seen elephants play soccer. I don't know. Soccer's
not a bad one. It's a lot of running.
Well, because like
they can kick.
That's the thing. Is like it's the only one I can think of where they don't ever have to hold anything.
I was going to say rugby, but they can't tackle because they just be running into each other.
Yeah, it's the only one where you're not holding something. You can't trust a horse to hold a bat or to catch a ball or to throw. You have to rely on it being able to randomly kick something. And soccer, to me, is the answer.
Yeah. Because like... I'm thinking like American football wouldn't work.
It would not.
Because they can't.
You can't carry.
They can kick, but yeah, I guess. Yeah, you're right. Soccer's all kicking. Yeah, soccer, of course. Has to be soccer.
Yes. I'm glad you mentioned Wilson. We have time today. It's a light mailbag. That's the last question. Wilson and I have one of my favorite traditions. We figured this out around hanging out around you. We hung out.
Can't imagine what else you would have hung out.
Yes, exactly. I think the third time we were in the same place. Same time, you introduced us again. And I was like,
sounds like something I do.
I was like, Wilson, we got to stop this. I was like, next time we're in the same place, we need to make a huge deal out of seeing each other so no one ever introduces us again. So now whenever I see Wilson,
really,
we both go, oh my God, and we hug and we make a huge deal so that no one ever acts like
introduce.
We don't know.
Yeah. That's great. I like that. That's good stuff.
Thank you. That's it. That's the MB. We have... just one thing left to do, and that is to discuss whether we are sad or not sad this week.
Hmm.
We shall do that momentarily.
Hooray.
are. We've reached the tail end of the show. Moving along quickly today. I feel like we got everything out and we didn't dick around on too much. We dicked around a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, we always dick around a little bit.
Before we get to the final question, we have to give a big old round of applause to this week's winner. It's Hawken41, who I believe is somebody who asked a question in the mailbag as well.
Long time listener, I think. I don't know. I hope so.
Hawken said this as a podcast review. He said, sure, it's got a fancy name with a play on a TV show. Sure, it should be about sports. It's my favorite part of the work week. Keep doing what you do. You are the biggest, shiniest podcast in the mall. And if that's not enough, the Toronto Raptors are NBA champions. Congratulations to Hawken. You are the proud winner of the Boba Shett tee. If you want to get your hands on a free t-shirt, just like our pal Hawken41, all you got to do is head to your podcast app provider, whether that be iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, Spreaker, iHeartRadio, CastBox, Deezer, Podcast Addict, Podbean, any of those.
You know what I like about that review? Everything you said was true.
Absolutely right. Head there, write a creative review. Maybe you win next week, just like Hawken did this week. Or hypothetically, let's say you're not one of those review people. You don't like reviewing things. You like to pay for stuff because you're cool like that.
Industrial capitalist.
You're industrial and you believe that that's how it should work. And you want the shirt and you love the shirt and you don't want to leave a review. Go to sportsfell.ca. Click on the merch button at the tap.
Dat.
Buy yourself a shirt. Buy a Boba Shett shirt. Buy a Spursfeld shirt. Buy a Not Sad shirt. Buy anything you want and give them away. It's Christmas time. It's coming up. Put them in your Halloween loot bags. Give them to kids.
Oh, that's a great idea. Definitely give them to kids.
I don't know.
Kids listen to our show.
Kids love Sportsfeld.
We should give them all our ideas.
Literal children are always listening to this show.
Yes. And should be.
Ought to.
Role models. That's what we are.
Jake, I ask you this.
Mm-hmm.
Are you sad or not sad this week?
I'm not sad.
Not sad.
And here's why.
Lay it on me.
As we all know.
We do.
The Canadian federal election.
Oh, hell yeah.
I'm not going to say I'm not sad with the elections. That's not where I'm going with this. As an NDPer, it didn't go exactly
nope.
the way I wanted it to go, I would say. But also, as we are fond of saying, could have been worse.
Could have been a lot worse.
Which,
welcome to Canada,
is the fucking problem. I could go on a rant for hours about how the problem that we say could have been worse is the problem itself, but I'm not going to go there right
it
now.
It is.
But I will say, from a political side of 3 years now of just shit
mm-hmm.
and garbage. Not that it's always not shit and garbage, but especially shit and garbage. Watching sort of people get behind Jagmeet Singh, maybe not at the polls, but in his campaign, and watching him make speeches about taxing the rich and Green New Deals and bringing that sort of class consciousness and environmental consciousness back into Canadian politics, where it kind of went away from, even from the NDP in the last election, was really... nice to see and inspiring. And then last weekend, watching the Bernie Sanders AOC rally in Brooklyn, where they had 25,000 people there, and seemed to really, there does seem to be a slow, very slow shift a little bit in attitudes and ideas. I have no idea if, as we were sort of talking about briefly last week about the NBA, if in a such a capitalist enterprise that is Western culture, if these ideas can ever be fully implemented, I genuinely have no idea. I hope so. But it's been 3 years of just sort of shit and being punched in the teeth. And then to see this rally on the weekend and some of the stuff going around with Jagmeet, to actually feel something resembling optimism, even if it's not able to make it feel fully optimistic or fully like we're there or anything like that, was extremely nice and extremely gratifying. And even after the election on Monday, when it turned out the Conservatives weren't going to win,
mm-hmm.
even though you can blame our system for that if you want, which fair, but just feeling that, okay, maybe we're not, there are people out there and there are movements out there that are fighting the good fight, so to speak. And it just felt nice for even just for a fleeting moment on Twitter on Saturday, and then for half a second after the election, before actually thinking about it on Monday, to feel like something resembling hope towards our future and not just like we're all fucked and this is terrible. And so, yeah, that's all.
To echo your comments, even with a disappointing result, I hope that Jagmeet Singh remains
Me too. I like
the
him
leader
a lot.
Of the NDP. I think he showed a lot in the last little bit. And I agree with your comments that I think there used to be sort of a trepidation to push even further to the radical left. And I think it's great to see sort of, for lack of a better term, the millennial generation, and especially the generation after that, being like, no, fuck that. Like, the policies aren't extreme enough.
Yeah.
Get crazier. Like stand for something. Get nuts. Because the right did that already. They figured it out.
Yeah.
Like, if we're gonna be right,
absolutely,
go fucking wild being right. If you're gonna be left, fucking go do it. Be socialist, straight up.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I thought that was when, and if it happened a little later, like we spoke, I want to say 4 weeks ago, we had a nice meeting with a bunch of people and we talked, Josh was there, talking about how it's disappointing that the NDP didn't really seem to exist even in the campaign before the brown face thing. That was when they're like, oh shit, we should fucking go here. I think there, and that's what you talked about, the tax the rich and the like, being very upfront with like these further and left policies. I think if they now have the running of saying like, we're going to go this the whole way, we're going to push this as far as we possibly can, I think there's more traction for that than people think.
I hope so. I think there is. You're seeing it in the States. Like, I don't know if Bernie's going to win the nomination, but it's certainly not going to be for his ideas that he's not. It's going to be because his ideas are in the face of the sort of Democratic establishment. But
yes.
But the fact that they can get 25,000 people out in Brooklyn, which is not a huge number on the grand scheme of things, but it's still at a political rally at the middle of the day on a Saturday.
Yes.
And the fact you have, you know, politicians like, quote unquote, the squad in the States and Jagmeet. I think we do need more here. Okay. Like, we need more than just Jagmeet saying all these, which there are, but they need to be more in the spotlight.
Yes.
But it's, I don't know. It's just, it's nice to know that the dream isn't dead, so to speak.
It would be nice to vote for something instead of against something.
Yes, that's a great way to put it.
It's tired of strategic voting. Tired of being like, you know what? We wouldn't need to vote strategically if you gave us a reason to vote for you.
Or voting like I did this on Monday, which was, I know that my candidate's not going to win, so I'm going to vote for her anyway and hope she does, but I know she's not, so...
Yes.
Voting for something is...
As liberal stronghold occupiers.
Yeah. Yes.
Put an NDP. Okay. I am also not sad. Had a fun week.
Let's do it.
Sort of a nice, fun week. You know, it can be tough. Not tough. It can be easy to slip into like, this is a career thing. It's a work thing. But it can be easy to slip into like, not feeling like you want to do it, or just being like, especially when you work from home, you're just like, oh
yeah,
I can just sit around and not do anything. But I had a moment this week, like I interviewed Big John McCarthy, the MMA referee. I interviewed Sean Spears, AEW wrestler. I called Justin Cuthbert from the Scotiabank Arena immediately after a Leafs game. I called Alex Wong immediately after a Raptors game. I've got people, I'm going to call somebody from the World Series tonight. I got people like I get to go in and do an interview with some people that are another sort of fairly big known entity. And it's just like, damn. My job is fucking calling cool people on the phone, talking about sports, and then saying what I think about sports into a microphone, and then recording it and putting it out into the world. And that's how I get paid currently.
Yeah. That is
fucking bananas.
I had a similar thought in a not quite as, you know, I love this kind of way.
Yeah.
But just that idea of like, as anyone who's listened to this show knows, I spent the better part of last year complaining about the fact that I was broke and stressed.
Yeah.
And now that I'm doing Joe jobs, which are not my favorite thing to do, but I'm no longer broke or stressed. And I've also had that thought of just sitting on the couch being like, boy, I could really just not do this today.
Yes.
And then it's like, no, but you know what? Let's put in the...
What job would I be doing?
Exactly. Let's put in the couple hours that I get to do from my couch.
Mm-hmm.
And then I can go do the thing I like to do.
Feeling lucky, feeling blessed.
Yeah. I like that. And especially...
This is part of it. We get to come in here and do this.
Yeah. And we can.
On camera, on fucking microphone, like
our
producers.
Our careers allow us to
absurd.
Like just come in for 2 hours on a Wednesday afternoon and drink a beer and do this. And it's...
We have a production company that believes in us, that gives us the resources.
Yeah.
Look at this microphone setup.
Which is like, come on, guys.
Dylan has to come in. This is what Dylan has to do with his time.
Right?
He has to come here.
He has to listen to us no matter what. He can't fast forward through this.
He can't. It's his job.
Yeah.
He forced him.
Yeah.
Forcing him to do this for money.
Should be paid... Triple.
Say, come into the room.
Sean and Clay, get on. Pay Dylan triple.
Come into the room, put headphones on and listen to these fucking idiots losers. For an hour and a half. And then listen to it again.
Yeah.
Make notes.
Cut it up in like detail. Cut it. Although, yeah.
Unbelievable.
We're good, so it's not a lot of cutting.
I imagine that's probably true.
It has to be true.
I forget what I say.
I totally don't remember. Yeah, I'm
not. Anyway, on that note, thank you to Sean and Clay for believing in us and for giving us the resources and for inventing Space Monkey Media and allowing us to do a podcast.
That's true.
In this studio. Lots of other podcasts from this studio coming up.
Yeah.
You've seen them all over the place.
All amongst.
Caring about us a little bit less, I think. I'm worried.
I get it.
Clay's giving compliments to people who aren't us, and it makes me uneasy.
I get it, though. Like, there's a non-zero possibility that Aaron and Cassie are much better at this than we are.
That is likely. Speaking of which, Spreaker featuring... Wrestling on Pretty this week.
Yeah.
Cool. Front page. They got front page.
Love to Spreak.
Must be nice. They earned it. They're doing great. And they're way ahead. They have already recorded a bunch of episodes.
Right? They're so far ahead.
What are we doing?
Yeah. Well, because we can't.
We hide behind the fact that we can't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, imagine us being like, oh, you want to come in for a whole day?
No chance.
Absolutely not.
Anyway, congratulations to them for being featured. Listen to Resting on Pretty. Even if you don't watch the show they talk about, completely understood.
Which I don't. I don't like the show that they talk about.
They lay
like
it out and you understand what they're talking about. They have great chemistry. Better than us, for sure.
So much better.
For sure.
None of this fucking garbage.
No.
They know how to get out of a segment properly.
For sure. They would wrap the show up. They'd be done already. They'd be outside.
We thought we were going to get under an hour.
Yep. Well, I lied. I was just wrong.
Yeah.
There's a difference.
There is.
Anyway, thank you to Sean and Clay. Thank you to Dylan, of course, for doing all the actual work. Thank you to the intern in the box. And thank you for listening to Sportsfeld.
Sportsfeld!